Bishus Marina, Rav Shlita. You're obviously going to hear a lot in the coming couple of weeks about Dinim of Pesach, Dinim of Seder night, and not so much attention therefore is given in Shiurim to the Minhagim which are commonly practiced. Minhag is generally translated as custom, but it's more than just custom. The word Minhag comes from the root Nun He Gimel, Nahag in Ivrit. Nahag is a driver. A Minhag is a driving force. Minhag Yisrael Torahi. Minhagim are treated like Torah itself. And what is it about Minhag which makes a Minhag so special? It's because when we are performing the Dinim, we are doing a ritual which we have to do. But when we're performing Minhagim, we're not doing it out of duty. The Minhagim we're doing out of love and devotion and dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to show our enthusiasm towards the various bits and pieces of Seder night. So we mustn't degenerate and decry Minhagim because they're very important indeed. So, as I said, custom is a very poor translation. By doing Minhagim, we are showing a deep dedication. And there are numerous Minhagim when it comes to Seder night, which are worth discussing and looking at the reason. And we're not going to manage all of them, but we're going to pick on perhaps the main ones. The general Seder, and the reason why we have the word Seder on Seder night, is because we follow a certain agenda. The agenda is Kadesh, Urachatz, Karpas, Yachatz, etc. And we'll just have a look at those, because the Al-Sheikh gives an interesting dimension to the Seder of Kadesh, Urachatz. Apart from what they literally mean, the Kadesh is the Kiddush, the Urachatz is the washing the hands, the Karpas, the parsley, the Yachatz is the breaking of the matzah. And then we had Magid Rochtzol, the telling the story and washing the hands, Motzi Matzah. So the Al-Sheikh says this is all a remez to our behavior. Kadesh Atzmucha B'Mashe Mutaloch. Sanctify yourself with what is allowed to you, and that is the way you serve Hashem properly. Urachat, washing, is an idea of Tahara, of making yourself purified. And Karpas has a number of ideas. Karpas has the Gematria 365, which is the number of mitzvahs lo ta'aseh, which we take upon ourselves. Yachatz, when you break the middle matzah, you're putting something aside. You should always put something aside for poor people. Magid Rochtzol, literally the telling of the story and then washing the hands. He says Magid Rochtzol is that you should tell others about the importance of Yiddishkeit, Rochtzol, in order to purify others as well as yourself. Motzi Matzah. Motzi means to find. Matzah is compared to the Yetzer HaTov, the good inclination. You should find and reveal your Yetzer HaTov. And Moro Karech. Moro is compared to the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. You have to try and combine your Yetzer Hara with your Yetzer HaTov to serve Hashem B'chol Levavacha, not B'chol Libacha, because there is an illusion that you're even serving Hashem B'shnei Yitzrecho with your Yetzer Hara as well. Shulchan Aruch Tzofon, literally the meal, and afterwards the Afikomon. Shulchan Aruch Tzofon, Tzofon means hidden. If you keep to all these precepts, then your table will be laid for you in Gan Eden, and hidden for you there as a special reservation. Borech Halel Mirtzah, and by blessing and praising Hashem, everything will become Mirtzah, which means desirable. Now that's an idea surrounding the remez of the Seder. And the first custom I'd like to talk about when it comes to the Seder night is wearing the kittel. Because a lot of people don't bother with the kittel. And for a while I didn't wear it. And I'll tell you the reason why. And the Rav of the Shtibel, I was once davening on the Omen Noroim, came up to me and said, "Why aren't you wearing a kittel?" Because most people were wearing a kittel, and I armed and hard, and well, it wasn't that long since I had got married, but I wasn't wearing a kittel. I didn't have established the minhag at the time, and the Rav insisted that I put on his own spare one. And since then I've been putting one on every Yom Kippur. And of course on Seder night, why do we wear the kittel on Seder night when Yom Kippur is such a solemn day, and yet nevertheless the Seder is such a happy event when we're celebrating freedom? What is the idea of wearing the kittel? Well, something wearing white is a symbol of freedom, as opposed to wearing black, which is the colour for Tisha B'Av. So it's opposite to mourning that we're in a state of joy. But how do we reconcile the fact that the kittel is called the Beged Meisim? It is the clothing which is worn by the dead. And it was for that reason that my own brother didn't want to wear a kittel for his wedding. He felt as though the kittel is a beggar mason. Alright, the wedding day is like a Yom Hadin, like a Yom Kippur, and Kapara, and also Tahara, purification. But my brother didn't want to wear the kittel when it came to his chuppah. It was in the town of Vienna, but 10 minutes before the chasna, the Rav of the town said, "I'm sorry, if you don't wear a kittel, I'm not going to be Masadeh the Kiddushin." So he duly put one on. And so I followed his example. So what is it then about the big day mason that we're wearing it on such a happy occasion? One answer is that even at the time of joy, of ultimate extreme joy, we have to moderate ourselves. We always have to subdue ourselves to try not to bring the joy to excess. We are still in Galus after all. And so there is that moderation. Even though the white idea is called purification and is ultimate joy. But there's another idea, that when we wear the kittel, it's like the avoda on Yom HaKippurim. We are compared to the Kohen Gadol who's doing the avoda when we're sitting down to the Seder to perform the numerous mitzvahs of the Seder. As it says in the Pasuk, "V'avadta es avoda azos b'chodesh hazeh," that the Seder is called avoda. Eating the matzah, having the marrow, the four cups of wine. This is like an avoda, and it's compared to the avoda of Yom HaKippurim. Another idea of the kittel is that we are dressed like royalty. We're wearing some special clothes because when we're sitting at the Seder night, it's kachila meshulchan gavoa. Like the high table, literally, the temple service, and we are royalty. Even the poorest person has a place at the table. There is an established minhag that only the balabais wears the kittel, but some have the custom that others wear it as well if you've been married for more than a year. But there's another interesting idea about the kittel, and that is that since this is an item of clothing which you only wear at a time of the year on Yom Kippur when you're not eating, although some wear it Rosh Hashanah as well, then there's definitely no chometz on it. And so it's a chometz-free zone when you are putting on your kittel. Another idea is, you are performing so many mitzvahs on the Seder night that it's very useful for you when you come to Yom HaDin, because what you've got to prove yourself, when you come to Yom HaDin, you've got something to show for yourself. I've done this mitzvah, I've done that mitzvah. And then you can allude to Yom HaDin by wearing the kittel on Seder night. And there are in fact even some people, therefore, who don't even wash their kittel, so that then they walk into Yom HaDin, they've got some of their matzah crumbs on them to show something for themselves. But with my kittel, it's impossible, because there are too many wine stains and matzah crumbs on it. They'll think I've just eaten on your kippah, yeah.
Well, I heard the other way around.
Yes?
Because this level, Yom HaNoraim, will be present when you at Seder night.
That's an interesting
idea.
You
don't wash it after Yom HaNoraim.
But you don't wash it after Yom HaNoraim, and you bring forward the Yom HaNoraim to say that I've proved myself, that the teshuvah I did last Yom Kippur was sincere, and I'm now showing my dedication. Great. Another common practice which is prevalent at Seder night is to drink wine which is red. To do your mitzvah, you can have any wine. You can have white wine, you can have blue wine if it's proper wine, you can have any kind of wine, but the minhag is to have yain edon. There is a pasuk in Mishlei Kaf Gimel, al tere yain ki is adem, and there's a lot of ideas that red wine has a better quality about it, apart from the better appearance, but the idea there is zeichel ledam, the blood, and there are a number of references to blood in our Haggadah. There's of course the Dam Pesach, and there is the Dam Milah, and it was difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we came to Yam Suf to split the sea for us, not because Hashem can't do anything, but because he wanted to be a fair judge. Some of us had idolatrous practices going on, so Hashem thought to himself, do they really deserve it? And then you remember Dam Pesach and Dam Milah, that we dedicated ourselves with the blood of the Korban Pesach and the Dam of Bris Milah. In order to eat the Korban Pesach, we had to circumcise ourselves before. V'chol orel lo yochal bo. And by that, deserving those miracles, we were successful. So we drink red wine. There is also, of course, the blood which we smeared on the doorposts and on the mashkoth in order to be saved from the makkah of Makkas Becharos. And in addition, Paro, he took the blood of the Jewish boys and he bathed in it. Hashem Yikam Dama. So that is an allusion to the blood by drinking red wine as an idea, but it reminds us of the blood. And even nowadays, when all this might be regarded as history, there are still many anti-Semites around who wish to destroy us. They are trying to kill us. And by drinking the red wine, we're reminding ourselves that it's them who are after our blood, and we have to be on our guard and serve Hashem accordingly. If the anti-Semites want to pin us down with any cruel false accusations, they'll find any way to do it. And the blood libels were not just accusations about the wine, but also the matzahs. And it's a sad thing that the anti-Semite will use anything illogical to try and accuse us of something which we did not do. There is a practice, of course, that every person or every male has in front of them three matzahs. Why three matzahs? Some have in fact a practice of dividing them in between, but that is, by a number of poskim, thought as unnecessary and even silly, but it is done, and we don't laugh at what people do. We need two, of course, for Lechem Mishnah, because it's Yom Tov. Then why three? In fact, the Vilna Gaon stuck to the principle of two. He did not like this idea of having three, but it's the Minhag Yisrael to have three matzahs, and one of them, the one in the middle, you break. So you've got a perusa there compared to the piece that you're giving to the poor person. In fact, once you've broken it, then you've got four pieces. And four is a very common number for the Seder. You've got the four questions of Manish Tamar, you've got the four gulos, you've got the four sons, you've got the four cups. So you've got four pieces of matzah. But coming back to the idea of three, it's compared to the Korban Todah, where there are three loaves, that one who comes away out of prison, for example, brings a Todah. And in fact, in Brachas Nundalas, it says that Arba Srichin Lahodos, there are four kinds of people who have to thank Hashem. Yerodei Hayom, those who cross the sea. Holchei Midbaros, those who were in Midbar. Cholesh Nisrapei, a sick person who has healed. And Chobosh Bebeis Asurim, somebody who's been in prison. And when you think about it, we have been going through all four experiences when we're sitting down at Seder night. So we're like bringing a Korban Todah. And there's another idea of Asiris Haifa, of having the measure, which is the Shiur Chala. So you have enough matzah in front of you, which is compared to the Asiris Haifa. Also, in the story of Avram and Sarah, he said, Shalosh Si'im Kemach Solis, Lushi Vasi Ugos. So he told her to bring three. And three then gives us the idea of matzah, apart from the idea of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, an allusion to our three forefathers. There's also the Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. And when we talk about matzah in Golos Mitzrayim, there were really three occasions when we really refer to matzah as a historical event. Number one, we actually ate matzah when we were slaves. Holach ma'anyo di'acholu avasona ba'arod Mitzrayim, which our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. We ate matzah because we didn't have enough time to bake properly as slaves, so we ate matzah food. Secondly, when we emerged from Mitzrayim, vayofu etz habotzeik, and they baked the dough, and there wasn't enough time for it to rise, and so it turned out as ugos matzos. And then thirdly, of course, the mitzvah. Hashem commanded us to have the mitzvah of matzah, al matzos and merim yochlu. You shall eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and morah. So it's those three ideas, hence the idea of having three matzos. And matzah, interestingly, says the Gemara in Avraham, has the Gematria of 135, which is close enough to the 136, a similar for Teshuvah, Tzon, Kol, and Mamon. We discussed when we did Gematrias why you're allowed to be one out, but that is the Gematria of the three words which we refer to, in fact, in the Yomim Noroim davening, with Tzon, Kol, and Mamon, the Teshuvah, Tefillah, Tzedakah, and it's a remez to Teshuvah. Cherus, freedom, also there's a gematria there. Cherus is 614, one out from 613, but 614 is in fact the gematria of Chochmo, Bino, and Das. One minhag which has always puzzled me as to why it's done is that the children steal the afikomon, or do they steal it? Are we encouraging children to practice bribery, blackmail, and extortion? Is this the way of Yiddishkeit? It doesn't sound right. And yet this is such a prevalent custom that if one looks into the sources to try and find a justification to it, there is in fact quite a number of interesting reasons behind it. Although I must say, to start off, that Orchis Chaim says this is Hevel, it shouldn't be done. And he says, Uvagoyim nishma shayuhudim melandim yaldeim lignov. The goyim will hear that the Jewish people are teaching their children to steal. Al-kein hamonah meshubach. One should be refraining from it, and one who refrains from it is highly praiseworthy. And the Brisker Rav writes something similar, that it should not be done, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe said something about this, that it shouldn't be done. However, the Ma'arach Halvor, which is a very early source, he says, gozlim ze miyad ze. One actually steals one from another, l'simcha, as something which contributes to the joy of the occasion of Seder night, that it's done for fun, k'dei sheish alu atinokos, in order also that the children should be encouraged to ask questions, why do we do such things, below Yishnu, we don't want the children to fall asleep. If we can encourage the children to get involved in the activities of the Seder as much as possible, and there are many instances when we simply do things in order to encourage them to ask questions. And as a child, I was a bit frustrated when I said, why do we do this? And I was told to make you ask questions. Why do we do that to make you ask questions? Well, I want to know the reason. And the Maran Halvar actually writes, Ein levatel haminag. We do not do away with a minag. And we've discussed once before the whole concept where a minag can be okera halacha in certain instances, where a minag can be so strongly based that it can go against an actual din. And here, what are the children doing? They're actually stealing the afikomon, which is against the halacha, you might say, to steal. But is it really stealing? So the Al-Paskim say, well, it's not really stealing. There is a Gemara Pesachim Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, which says, Chotfin afikomon b'leil Pesachim b'shvil hatinokos shelo yishnu. Chotfin means to grab. So literally the Mepharshim say, well, what this Gemara really means is, we want to do things as early as possible so that the children don't fall asleep. So we grab the opportunity to eat the afikoman as soon as we can. But it's this word chotfin which has been used as a justification for the grabbing that the children do. That they grab the afikoman b'shvil hatinokos shelo yishnu, in order that the children can stay awake and they're encouraged to do things that they don't fall asleep. So the children grab the afikoman.
Isn't that the reason why some have them in her the other way around, that the Baal Seder hides the afikoman and the children go and look for it.
And the children go and look for it, yes. Then we hide it and let them start going around sleeping. Yeah.
No,
it all adds to the drama of the occasion. We don't want the children just sitting bored, and we want to get them involved in a physical way, in an emotional way, and that is one of the things we do it, yes. So let them go looking for it. I mean, Nick Hadin, it doesn't matter if you don't eat that much of afikoman. You can take more from the box. But we want to get the children involved, and this is a bit of drama which we attempt to do, yes.
Isn't it also that since the children and everybody else participating in that much, it's not really stealing, they're their share as well? I mean, to some extent they're going to participate anyway.
Yeah, but is that...
And it's going to be returned, it's not as if one's taking
well,
it. You're taking it with the permission of the Baal Seder. And you're telling you, he knows it's going to be done, it's traditional done every year. Where's the gazelle in it? Where's the canaver in it?
Isn't there a bit of extortion when the child says, I'll only give it back to you if you give me
a
new iPod? I mean, that is not Jewish practice, is it?
No, but if you don't give in, let's say the child's not going to keep it forever, he's not going to say, well, let's go. You just say,
yeah, okay.
So the thing is, extortion, it's all a bit of fun, really.
It is, but...
You don't have to give in. You can say, well, you want an iPod. There's no way I'm giving you an iPod. Not unless you put the iPod towards it or something like that. I don't know.
I have to tell you that the Sefer Torah brings down that the Teimanim actually banned this custom. They felt it's not right that children are accustomed and trained to take things away without permission and then to bargain and if you say I allow you to take it, fine, then there's no theft. But if you don't allow them to take it away, you hide it, and you don't want them to find it, and you don't want them to... All right. It depends what your motive is. But,
not everyone's as generous, is it?
That's what it is.
I was present at the non-family Seder, which finished at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And repeated non-family Seder.
Yes.
And the father and a particular child were literally negotiating for about an hour and three quarters. It was awful. It was really a nightmare. And it became very...
Yeah, all right.
So,
it's going to the extreme.
Some people, it goes a bit too far. So.
Well, there are a number of ideas behind this idea of taking the Afikoman. One is, the Makar Chaim says, it shows a love for the mitzvah, that the children are generated into trying to find it and to take it. So it's showing a love for the mitzvah. We've spoken about the idea of chotz in this word, of grabbing, and it's an allusion to what the Gemara says of eagerness. So it doesn't say gozlin, it says chotzin. But there are some other ideas which are brought down. Number one, in Mitzrayim it says that no dogs attacked us. And it's a generally assumed fact that when you've got no dogs around, then you get burglars around. Or vice versa, if you get more dogs, you'll get less burglars. And so there is a custom which developed to steal the Afikoman as an allusion to the fact that there were no dogs in Mitzrayim, and we're celebrating that fact, that we were never attacked by dogs, but as a side effect, as it were, of not having dogs around, you do get burglars. So this is brought down in the Seder Oroch from the Michtav Sofer and from the Ben Ishkai, and has a very interesting sources. Another idea is that when Esav tried to get the brachas from Yitzchok, he was and it was on Pesach, by the way, he was told by his father Yitzchok, Bo chicho b'mirmo, your brother came and he took the brachas away. And if you look in the Midrash Peleah, it says the words, on Bo achicho b'mirmo, velokach ha'afikomon. And he took the afikomon. That the afikomon is a simon of bracha. Your brother took the brachas. But the wording used in the Midrash is the afikomon. So it's an allusion to the fact, says Rav Menashe Klein of Mishnah Halachas, that this was an allusion to the story of Esav coming for his brachas and being told, Bo achicho b'mirmo. That sometimes, to fight the Rasha, you need this mirmo. You need to cheat the Rasha a little bit. And in order to get the brachas, you need to do what is really necessary. And so the child is told, take the afikoman. Very interesting ideas. So that is the custom. A source it certainly has. Another common practice which we do at the Seder night, which isn't a din, but it's done by everybody, is that we pour off a little bit of wine when we come to the 10 plagues. And people might say, isn't this bal tashchis? Aren't you wasting? Is it right? Although most people don't actually tip the cup, but they use their little finger and they take a drip off. And I used to always get told off when I was a little child that I was licking my finger afterwards, saying, you know, what are you licking here? This is the simen of the maccas and the blood and goodness knows what else. Anyway, if you count the number of times we actually do this tipping, as it were, it comes to 16 times, because we got the 10 plagues, we got the tzachadash be'achav, and there's also dom v'esh v'simros oshon. So that makes 16. And the Rokeach talks about this idea of 16, that there are 16 sides to Hashem's sword, and this is in Yirmiyah, that in the Tzokhoch of Yirmiyah there are 16 mentions of Hashem's sword, and that is an interesting number. There's another idea, and that is we pour off a little bit because the cup is a symbol of our joy, of our simcha, and we're taking off a bit of our joy from Seder night. Why? B'nfalai v'chal tismach. You should not be overjoyed at the downfall of your enemy. We're not glad that Paro died simply because he was our enemy and he died. We're glad that we were saved and Hashem saved us. But to actually gloat over the downfall of our enemies is not the Jewish practice. So in order not to gloat too much, we take off a little bit of our joy, and that is the simon of taking off from the cup of wine. The four cups, says the Yerushalmi in Pesachim, Yud Halacha Aleph, is a representation of the punishment that Hashem gives to the anti-Semites and Amalek. And what we're taking off is just a small part of what is in store for these people. That the cups are our ammunition, as it were, against the Jew haters. And what we're taking off is just a little bit of what there is. That we're saying to these anti-Semites, just you wait, there's much more in store for you if you dare start on us. Another idea is that the Midrash Shir HaShirim, and there's also Gemara in Tanis, which says that the Torah is compared to wine. Egypt deprived us of Talmud Torah. They took us away from the opportunity to learn and practice it, even though the Torah wasn't given yet. The others kept it, and so on. That they deprived us of learning, so by taking off some of the wine from our cup, it's an allusion to the fact that Mitzrayim deprived us of Torah. Another idea is that when we're tipping off the wine from the cup, we are doing it on those issues of Peronius, of Genai, the Makas, the Tzachat Hashbachav, Dom Vaish Vesimus Oshon. So we want to remove from our cup any Peronius, anything bad, before we actually drink it. Ein Mevarchin al Kos Shel Peronius, says the Gemara in Brochas, Daf Nun Aleph on the base. You don't want to make a brocha over a Kos of Peronius, which is of bad events. So by removing those bad bits, and then we can drink the remainder, which is the joyful part. There is a minhag when we make havdalah to fill up the cup and let it spill over a little bit. Again, the question is, isn't this baltashkes? And we once discussed the issue of baltashkes. But it's called a siman brocha. And therefore, because it's a siman brocha that you let it spill over a little bit, that's not called wastage. In the same way, it's a siman brocha when we do this tipping on Seder night as well. And this cup, the cup of wine, is the symbol of joy. And when we lift it up, when we say lefichoch, we're doing so because Einam and Shira El Al Ayayin, we're doing so because when you sing Shira to Hashem, you're doing it only over wine. That's the Gemara Brachas Lamed Hey. And we're showing our simcha, we're showing our chivuv mitzvah. And interestingly, Kos, the Gematria of Kos, 86, which is the number of cc a Rabbis should have, according to any poskim, which is 86.7. Those who go like the Chazon Ish, it's nearer to 150. But Kos is also the same gematria as Elohim, Hashem in his form of justice. And another word which is the same gematria as Kos is Hateva, nature. Because what are we doing on Seder night? We're affirming our emunah in Hashem. We're showing a demonstration of our faith. Now, most of what we're doing on Seder night is to remind ourselves of the miracles Hashem did, and it's those miracles which confirm our faith. As the Kuzari's theme is, why do we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because Hashem did for us nisim nigloim, which were witnessed by many people, which are facts in history which are indisputable. Indeed, the other major religions of the world also accept that these events happened. So that is a demonstration of our faith, and that's what we're doing on Seder night. That's why we make such a glorification of this evening, or two evenings, to teach to our children and to ourselves the importance of Emunah. But Emunah doesn't just come from the Nisim. The Emunah also comes from nature. Mikolos Mayim Ramim Adirim Mishborei Yom. When we witness nature around us, that gives us our Emunah. And David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Mikelos Maim Rabbi Majim Mishpayon, that is one thing which gives you Emunah. But Eidos Secho Ne'enu Miyod. Your real Emunah comes from the Eidos, from the Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Mon, and Matan Torah, and all these events which we're talking about on Seder night. And it's those two together which give us the Emunah. Avraham Avinu didn't have the Eidos. Avraham Avinu didn't have the stories of Yetzias Mitzrayim. All he had was nature. Vayera Hashem Elov Ba'elone Mamre, Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu Ba'elone Mamre, and Mamre is the Rashi Teilos Mikolos Maim Ravi Madirim. He saw nature, he was astounded by nature, and that's how you recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've got the added benefit on Seder night by being able to recall the Nisim. And the Matzah, as opposed then to the coast, the matzah represents the nisim that happened, and the matzah is called Lechem She'onin Olav Devarim Harbei. We answer the questions, Lechem Oni, because we answer the questions to describe all the nisim which happened. Coming forward to another well-practiced, more than a minag you could say, charoses is the food which we add to the morrow. There is no din that you eat charoses. It's generally made with ground apples, wine, maybe cinnamon, some other fruits, but apples is usually the fruit which is the main ingredient. What is it about the charoses which makes it such an important event on Seder night? The traditional answer is it represents the cement, zechelatit, which they made us do in our slavery and building works. And the Maharal talks about this at length in Gevuras Hashem. But what is it about the apples? What is it so special that we put apples into the charoses? We discussed apples a lot when we had our shir about Zemiras, because there are a number of Zemiras and Shabbos which allude to the Vachakal Tapuchim Kadishim. The Arizal talks about apples. What is it about apples which makes them so special, apart from the fact that I like apples? Well, the women, in order to give birth out of sight, they went away from the town, out of the sight of Pyro and his officers, and it says they gave birth under the apple trees. And they were giving birth to up to 6 children in one go, and it was under the apple trees. And this is alluded to in Shir HaShirim, Perek Ches, Pasuk Hey, Tachas HaTapuach Or HaSicha, that it was under the apple trees. There is another idea which is brought down about apples, and that is the budding which takes place for apples is said to take place even before the leaves are properly grown. And then as the leaves grow and are spread, they cover up the buds so that the apples can ripen properly. So once after the sons are born, Hashem gives the protection and saves. Because of that decree of throwing the sons into the water, so it's the fruit budding which takes place at such an early stage with apples. But the Chalotzis also contains usually red wine, and we got another Zeicher L'Dom there. We spoke about the different aspects of blood and the Paro Bavim blood, and there was the Makar of Dom, of course. And there are others who say that the Chalotzis Zeicher L'Tevan, the straw which they had to use. And the Maharsho says this in Pesachim Kuf Taf Zayin. There's an interesting paradox which runs throughout the Haggadah, which we once discussed before. And the paradox is this: we're celebrating freedom, but at the same time we're saying we're still slaves. We're free, but Hoshata Avdei, now we are free, the Shona Abba B'nei Chorim, next year we should be properly free. And so we have the Matzah, which symbolizes freedom, but we have the Morrow, which is the bitter taste, which is about the slavery. And as you go through the whole Haggadah, you get this constant juggling idea that we're free, but we're not free. Shir Chodosh, Shir Chadosh, I'm afraid I should talk about the distinction. That we have a certain delight about the Seder night, but we've also got a certain remorsefulness about it. And this is actually within the context of the Charoses and the Morrow together, because the Morrow represents the sourness and bitterness of slavery, but the Charoses represents the sweetness and the joy of having freedom. We sweeten the sour on Seder night, and we sour the sweet. And it's not a contradiction, because it represents the sort of Golus which we're now in, where we've achieved something and have magnified to us the Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're still praying for the final proper Ge'ulah that we should become having our practices in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. So that's the idea of Charoses. A very common practice in Seder night is to have the egg. Well, there's an egg on the Seder plate, Zeicher L'Chagiga, but many have the practice also at the beginning of the meal to have egg in salt water. Certainly, I know the Yekkers do this a lot, to have cooked egg in salt water. What is this idea of the egg? The egg is not just something which is called Zeicher L'Chagiga, it's also a simon of Avelus, of mourning. And why are we... Tisha B'Av is the same day of the week that year as the first day of Pesach falls, and so we're already thinking about Tisha B'Av and praying for our redemption. The Aramaic for Beitzah is Be'or, and Be'or can mean problem. Be'or can mean the Rotzon of Hashem, that we have a desire to achieve. The idea also of the egg is that it's completely round, that it gives comfort to mourners, that there will be a Gilgal, a resurrection of the Neshama. And just like Egypt turned full circle, the egg is like a circle that it's got no end, no sharp corners. Just like Egypt turned full circle from their monarchy to their downfall, so should we come from the bottom all the way up in a cycle. And something interesting brought down in the Seder Oruch and from the Chasam Sofer is that most foods, when you cook them, they become soft, and they originate as being hard. The egg is the other way around, that it starts off being soft and then it hardens as you cook it. So we as a Jewish nation harden our resolve that the more they try to go against us, the more the anti-Semites try to quote cook unquote us, as it were, to heat us or to destroy us, that strengthens our resolve and we become an even greater nation. And we've been through a Churban. Well, our parents have been through a Churban in Europe in the 20th century, unequalled in all Jewish history. But now, when we look at Klal Yisrael, how it grows, if the Nazis, Yirach Shimon, would see what is happening now to Klal Yisrael, this is the idea of the egg, that we harden our resolve and we grow even better the more they try and tread on us. I know people ask this question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? But the idea is that the main event for us is not so much Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Kabbalas HaTorah. So you get the egg, and the chicken comes out from the egg. So we come out from Mitzrayim, but the real thing is the afterthought of it, and that is the Kabbalas HaTorah, which is what Yetzias Mitzrayim was really all for. Another interesting practice which we do on Seder night is the Kos Eliyahu, the cup for Elijah the prophet. Why is it that we have this practice for Eliyahu HaNavi? There is in fact a machlokes as to how many cups of wine we should have on Seder night. There's a Rabbi Tarfin who says we should have 5 cups, and the Chachomim say we have 4. Can they get the 4 Lashonos of Geula? But the view of Rabbi Tarfin is that there is a 5th expression, Vehevesi, that once you've been redeemed, Vehevesi, I will bring you to the land of Israel. And therefore there is a 5th Lashon of Geula. So what do we do? Do we have 4 cups or do we have 5 cups? Well, obviously you go according to the majority. The majority is the Chachamim. You say you have 4 cups. But in deference, in deference to Rabbi Tarfo, we have a 5th cup on the table. And that 5th cup is not drunk, in deference to the Chachamim, but we have it there to give respect to Rabbi Tarfo. And what is the idea of Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who's going to come afterwards and settle all the disputes. He is the one, Tishbi Yatarets, Kushu Tuvayos, Teku. He is the one who will afterwards tell us whether we should do things one way or do things the other way. And even on Dinim Durabonon, on the 4 cups of wine, is a Dinim Durabonon, that's how much we respect the Divrei Chazal. So Eliyahu will resolve that, as well as other things. So we call it the Kos Eliyahu. But there are other reasons why we call it the Kos Eliyahu. There are four Malchios. Bovel, Prasimoda, Yovan and Edom. We're now still in Golos Edom. And we are looking forward to the 5th Malchus, which is the Gula Charona, which is our final redemption. And that is when Eliyahu HaNavi will reveal himself. He will be the one who comes to bring us the news that the Mashiach is coming. So we're thinking of that by having the 5th cup. The 4 cups representing the 4 Malchios. In fact, when we have the beginning of the Seder of Masay, there's an allusion to those 4 Malchios. Eile Masa B'nei Yisrael, the first letters of Aleph, Mem, Beis Yud, spell Edo, Modai, Bovel, and Yovon. But we are waiting for the 5th Gula Charona, which Eliyahu HaNavi will reveal to us. Now Eliyahu HaNavi visits us on another occasion. He comes to us every time that there's a Bris Milah. Malach HaBris, he is testifying to Hashem that we are a holy nation, because he is actually seeing every Bris Milah which takes place. So says the Chok Yaakov. And on Seder night, he is also coming to testify that we are performing the Seder properly and doing Hashem's wish. And of course, you can't eat the Korban Pesach unless you've had the Bris Milah. So everybody had to have the Bris Milah before they had the Korban Pesach. And Eliyahu HaNavi testifies to Hashem that we have performed Bris Milah. And then you've got the idea of Dam Pesach and Dam Milah, which is by virtue of those two kinds of blood with which we were given Kriyas Yamsuf. And so Eliyahu HaNavi plays a part in both of those. In fact, the Maharal says that when we do Shvoch HaMoscha, we open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi to come in. He says that before you say the word Shvoch HaMoscha, you should say Harachem on Yishlach Lonu Es Eliyahu HaNavi Zocha LaTov. Hashem should send us Eliyahu HaNavi. Come, no more, just as it says, and we make this tefillah, because we are praying for the final redemption. So that gives us an idea of a number of important ideas of Seder night, and the altar of Kelm ask the question, why is it that we go so much through rituals on Seder night, where it's good enough just to have a commemoration? You know, everyone in America has a commemoration day for this and a commemoration day for that. And when you walk around in Washington, D.C., the whole town is like a matzeva, because this is a commemoration and that's a commemoration. We don't just do commemorations in Yiddishkeit. We actually have to live through the experiences. Now, why is that? So the Alter of Kelm says that Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they had the high intellect. Chazal had the high intellect of Hashem being great, and that was enough. But for us, we need to actually live through these experiences, and remind ourselves of the miracles to try and litter it as much as possible, and so we need tangible objects. And Rav Shlomo Volba says in Alei Shu that we should use our own powers of imagination to strengthen our emunah. And that's why it's perfectly in order to make up your own bits of drama on Seder night, whether it's with the children or with others. There's a well-established minhag to, after the yachatz, to take the broken matzah before you hide it, and to wrap it up in a cloth, and to put it on your shoulder, and to walk around the room with the children, and to say, this is the way we came out from Mitzrayim, and to sing something, and you can dramatize it with what you put on, with your anoraks and your walking sticks, and with your unopened umbrella, and with your funny hats, and all this adds to the enjoyment of the occasion, which the children like very much. And that's, although it's called minhag, it is part and parcel of the actual mitzvah, min ha-Torah, of Hisham Elecho Pen Tishkach, and Chayav Odom Liris Esatzmo Kilu Hu Yotzom Mitzrayim. A person is duty-bound to see himself as though he came out from Mitzrayim, and therefore we can't decry these practices saying, oh, they are just custom. They're more than that. Minhag is a much greater idea than custom, and minhag is part and parcel of this mitzvah, Hisham Elecho Pen Tishkach. We mustn't forget. And we must be patient through the whole Seder till we can come to this realization that we are only here because of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of the mitzvah that he's done for us. And so in addition to all these dinim which we will be learning about for our Seder night, we can give great appreciation and weight to these minhogim which give the night of Seder that piece of drama which makes it so much more special. I hope you all have a very happy Yom Tov and a kosher Pesach.